Shop the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off Super Paint, Super Deck, and Woodscapes products June 12th through the 22nd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Football on Off the Ball.
Now, and for some considerable time, we're much more proficient as in the media and in the public about describing the art, both the art and the science of being exceptional players, what it takes, how they think.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets.
Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Good evening and welcome along to Monday Nights Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you until 10 o'clock. Our number is 087 918 180 if you want to get in touch with us. We have Stephen Doyle here on Newsround duty. Steve-O, how are you doing?
I'm good, Owen. Good evening. It's been a while.
It has been a while. Welcome back. Arthur O'Dea is here as well. Evening, Arthur.
Hello.
I was thinking about this, Steve-O, knowing that you were coming in. As somebody who is our prime match commentator on Sunday afternoons on Off the Ball on News Talk.
Sounds like senior analyst.
I mean, senior commentator. Has the art of commentary had to change over the last couple of years? Like when you're kind of envisaging situations, are you thinking to yourself, I might have a 5-minute VAR check here to explain to the nation who literally do not have pictures?
Yeah.
Like even if you're a television commentator, you can at least sit there and be like, well, I mean, everybody at home can kind of see what's happening. You have to explain what's going on in that penalty box yesterday, which was chaos, to be fair, to all the officials involved yesterday. But also, God, it's a lot of time without any actual football taking place.
It makes a fool of you. It makes a complete fool of you. And I was lucky that I had Keith Tracy there alongside me, who was, you know, able to carry it a bit as well, because, my God, it took a while, didn't it? Like, Darren England, who was the VAR, he was looking at that. He must have had 17, 18, 19 views before he actually then said, Chris Kavanagh, go over and have a look at your monitor. And as we all know, once they're told to go to the monitor, it's usually saying to the referee, look, I think your decision to award the goal was incorrect. But my first, when you see it first, like as you said, there's so much chaos going in the box. It's completely impossible to see what went wrong. And when I see a goalkeeper like that, I'm kind of going, you know, looks like he's made a bit of a mess of this. Despite the fact, look, I think David Raya has been Arsenal's best player this season. He's been magnificent. And look, well, Fernandes, I know he kind of butchered that chance for West Ham in the game. It was a really good save by David Raya. I thought he spread himself really well to make the save. 18 clean sheets, confirmed as the Golden Glove winner. But that aside, I thought he made a big mistake when he came out to, and he's, you know, failed to catch the corner kick. And it wasn't until the third or fourth viewing that we got on the monitors that you could see the view from behind. And that's what you finally realise, oh, I made a big mistake here in telling everybody the keeper's made a mess of this, you know, because he did make a mess of it. Pablo had him by the wrist and he pulled him down and it was completely a foul. And I had already said, David Raya's made a mess of this. So you do kind of, maybe I need to just, but look, you call it as you see it, don't you?
It's been a hell of a day, really, hasn't it, in terms of football discourse. Like I've seen this referred to, or the question asked about whether or not this is the most important intervention from VAR yet. I don't think that goes anywhere near far enough. I wonder if Chris Kavanagh's announcement was actually the most important public address that's ever been made, you know? Move over, Martin Luther King. Like, Chris Kavanagh has the number one spot now.
I was saying to you off air, when VAR began, I was very much on the fence and I thought, let's give it a chance, you know? And even for the first season when, I go to matches as a fan every week, and I'm lucky enough to follow a League of Ireland club and we don't have to worry about this stuff. So when there's a goal scored by our team, you can celebrate and you don't have to worry about it being chalked off. And that is amazing. It's amazing to still have that, you know, real football to watch every week. But I was sitting on the fence and I was like, let's see how VAR goes, you know, first season, and there's a lot of people railing against. I'm still going, look, they might get this right 2-3 seasons down the line, and it is an absolute mess. It's completely, referees are completely using this as a crutch. We've started boiling down decisions down to microscopic detail. And it's terrible. It's terrible. And I wish it was scrapped, because it's really, really poor. Mm-hmm. But the only good thing about it is that now the referee has a microphone to relay his information to the whole stadium. And I was able to go, I could see Chris Kavanagh coming out. I was like, here we go, folks. This is it. This is the biggest call we'll hear from a referee all season in the Premier League. And you just stop. And sorry, I don't want to be kind of humble bragging here, but I was at the London Stadium for Usain Bolt's 100 metres final at the Olympic Games in 2012. And I always remember about that, you know, the all the runners come in, take their positions, and the stadium was just, the noise was absolutely incredible. It was deafening, absolutely deafening. And then all of a sudden they go, on your marks. And then whoosh, the silence, I'm not sure you could hear a pin drop, like it's a cliche or whatever. That's what it was like yesterday. It was just when Kavanagh comes out and everybody's just like, whew, it was like the air was sucked out of the stadium.
He did make the TV sign before dramatic. Speaking, so you knew he was going to turn it over, I think. So there was no real tension at that point. But maybe...
It felt dramatic.
It was just a momentary kind of thought of, oh God, maybe he's actually going to break with tradition here and stand over his decision as a result of making the rectangle. There has obviously been plenty of chat all day on this. You know, you've had your Keown's and your Givens and your Jordans and so on and so forth. So there's actually very little to kind of add tonight. However, I have seen that the VAR decision has made it to LinkedIn at this point. So, I mean, LinkedIn finally has its say. So there is a user on LinkedIn who posted saying, Arsenal have just won the biggest VAR decision in Premier League history, but here is the uncomfortable truth why no one is talking about. They deserved it. Not because the call was right, not because the technology worked perfectly, but because Arsenal had already done 90 minutes of relentless, disciplined work before that moment ever arrived. The goal was disallowed. It only mattered because Arsenal had already built a system that put them in a winning position regardless. And that is exactly how winning bids work. I review failed tenders for a living, and the pattern is almost always the same. Companies will spend weeks writing a submission, then one evaluator flags a technicality, a missing form, a vague methodology statement, a pricing error that should have been caught on page two, and suddenly, months of work unravels over something that took 30 seconds to overlook. Sound familiar? VAR did not beat West Ham yesterday. West Ham beat themselves by not being clinical enough to make the decision irrelevant. The same applies to your bids. If your tender response needs a favourable interpretation from the evaluator to score well, you have already lost. The companies that win consistently do not rely on luck, lenient marking, or hoping no one notices the gaps. They build submissions so tight that even under forensic scrutiny, the answer holds up. That is the system. That is what separates a 60% win rate from a 30% one.
Jesus Christ.
There you go. Oh
my God.
That is the only analysis you need for the situation.
You know, one of those things is funny about where you're so focused on something or you're digging into something and you see the traces of it everywhere.
Yeah.
It's just like this thing, you're seeing these analogies everywhere. It's so funny from that. I'd love to know how sincere that is and how, what's going on? It's like, I'll find some way to hug around this. Oh, that's incredible. That's, yeah.
Is the goalkeepers union now officially dead? Is it gone? Shay Given.
Oh, so a good point.
Peter Schmeichel and Joe Hart all calling it a bad decision by the referees. Like, this is big news. Like, the goalkeepers union, it is the one thing.
Splintered.
This is incredible. Like, they've all said it's a, and I kind of, like, Peter Schmeichel, a seemingly intelligent man, like the quotes I read for him
seemingly
are just
intelligent, so
unbelievable. Like, come on, this is one of your own guys. Like, you know, he's some outrageous action from a despicable outfield player to come in there against one of your own and put his hand on his arm and stop one of your own from making a big save in a match like that, and your support is completely floundered. I don't know what's going on.
The one thing about all of this is it was like I was literally watching these games in a pub in Killarney after the Kerry match yesterday, where you literally had Roscommon Galway on one screen and Arsenal versus West Ham on another screen. And just the sort of, you knew the fury that was going to result after everything that happened at the London Stadium yesterday, and he just knew the good, clean fun that would result as Roscommon beat Galway. And like, there was this commentary line which I didn't actually catch afterwards until I watched the Sunday game highlights, where Marty Morrissey said they'll be dancing at the crossroads tonight, Wexford style. And like, obviously that's just what came to him in that moment. Obviously a very famous Wexford thing. But they were literally dancing at the crossroads. Like, you look at your phone and there was people out in the town in Roscommon last night going crazy for this result. Just pure, unadulterated joy. And like, we were talking about this earlier, kind of in a surprising way.
Yeah.
Like, because I think we've both seen Roscommon win Connacht titles very recently. And it's an interesting one, which we'll get into with Ciarán Murtagh in around 20 minutes time tonight as to why that joy was there. But I think part of it may actually lie in just how brilliant a game of football it was and how brilliant football is to watch as a spectator right now. Mm. The fact that they were at home as well compared to the last two Connacht titles helps as well. Yeah.
No, I think you're in the main, you're right. And I think coming off the back of the way they bet Mayo, and they're just kind of buck wild, like, for common people for football. Like, that is the be all and end all. So any sort of success like that will go through the roof. But it is, it's funny, because it's not like the end of a famine. I think that's the fourth time in 16 years. It's not great, and they're very much the third party in the province. Like, but it's great to see. Like, geez, I don't know the last time the provincials have had such a exciting denouement.
Yeah.
And you're coming into like, God, what if Monaghan were to do it this weekend? Like,
yeah, it's interesting, yeah, because like, I think even just my experience yesterday was like, the game I was at was the one in Killarney, and that even felt like a throwback, even though a lot of the analysis I've seen afterwards is, oh, Cork didn't stand a chance, they didn't play great.
Like, routine,
which I never really felt, I must say, not until like the closing 10 minutes or so. I didn't really feel routine given the way Cork started. But that aside, it did feel like a throwback to 20 years ago, where you've got 30,000 people in the park, where you've got a beautiful sunny day, which felt like July, even though it's May. The place is full of red jerseys, probably outnumbered the home fans. And then Cork start really well and you have that Cork roar. And it felt important and it felt like a really meaningful game. Even though you could argue the provincials are less meaningful now than they have been at any stage. The provincial finals have been less meaningful than they have been at any stage recently, given everybody knows who they're going to play in the following game. I personally disagree with that argument. And I think probably it was laid bare there yesterday, and certainly at the Hyde, where you had two provincial finals that felt really important.
Why do you disagree?
I think that winning your province and beating your nearest rival is still a really important thing.
In and of itself.
In and of itself, yeah. And you had the added spice of the fact that it was the Paddy O'Shea Cup being handed out for the very first time. And if Cork were to get their hands on that in year one, I think that would have been a kick in the stones.
What would they do to it?
I know.
Did you have your Arsenal shirt under the Kerry shirt yesterday? Ready
for too warm for that. You know, of course, no shirts would be worn in a sporting capacity, given that I am a professional and I don't really have any leanings either way. It was interesting to see how crazy Killarney went when Callum Wilson scored yesterday.
Really?
Like, I mean, if you want to build a case that you know, everybody's out to get Arsenal, the scenes, there were scenes when Callum Wilson put that ball in the back of the net. But they quickly turned into, you know, one certain person cheering when the VAR decision was made. Once I saw that rectangle, I was coming right back at you. Listen, let's get cracking when it comes to the news round. You are going to start with what happened yesterday. We're going to hear from the Arsenal boss, Mikel Arteta.
Yeah, he said, I think we deserve to win the game after they eked out that 1-0 win against the Hammers, who are staring into the English Championship abyss. A late Leandro Trossard goal sealed the win, but not before a dramatic finish and VAR was to the fore. Callum Wilson scored an added time equaliser that was scratched off due to a foul by West Ham sub Pablo on Arsenal goalkeeper David Raya on a corner that led to the goal. VAR Darren England and referee Chris Kavanagh took their time before ruling out the strike. It's understood today West Ham will be contacting the referee's governing body, the PGMOL, after the late equaliser was disallowed. They're now seeking a further explanation following the controversial decision. Arteta though sounded like a relieved man after the game.
Especially when there is only two games to go after that, and we have created some big chances, and we didn't score, and the team had to stay cool. And I knew that they were going to have moments as well, because they don't need much to create issues in and around your box with the players that they have and the setup that they have. So, yeah, we navigated through that, and I think we deserve to win the game.
Interested to hear what Philippe and Dion make of his substitutions yesterday. I think the pressure got to Mikel yesterday, and I think Odegaard pulled it out of the fire for them. Relegated Burnley and Conference League final bound Crystal Palace stand in the way of Arsenal, ending their club league winning drought. They're 5 points clear of second place Manchester City, who have games against Crystal Palace at home, Bournemouth away, and Aston Villa at home to play.
And a huge fixture tonight in the Premier League as well. What has Spurs head coach Roberto De Zerbi been saying?
Yeah, well, he's not taking the challenge of Leeds lightly tonight on. Since De Zerbi gave his pre-match press conference, which was on Friday, their relegation threatened rivals West Ham beaten by Arsenal. That result gave Tottenham some breathing space. What it also means that Leeds, who came up from the Championship last season, could not be relegated. The North Londoners are still not safe and are only 1 point ahead of West Ham, who are third from bottom. That's thanks to wins against Aston Villa and Wolves and a draw with Brighton in the last three matches. Leeds also come into this one in good form, something De Zerbi has been hammering home to his squad.
We go to play against one of the best team in this moment, because in the last 5-6 games they won in against Man United, they draw in Bournemouth playing well, they won at home two times, Wolves and Burnley, and for that we have a big respect. We can't think in different way. We have to keep this mentality.
I'd just say the Leeds team, or sorry, Tottenham team, is unchanged there, and no surprise reading the Leeds team as well. Kick-off there is 8 o'clock at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Big game of the Championship tonight.
Yeah, place in the Championship playoff final is up for grabs as Millwall host Hull City in the second leg of their semi-final at the Den. That tie delicately poised after their goalless first leg last Friday. Kick-off in London also at 8 o'clock.
Then we have an update on the Republic of Ireland squad.
Well, Benfica forward Jadon Uma won't be joining the squad this week. The Portuguese club want to hold on to the players. They've yet to seal qualification for the UEFA Youth League. Irish boss Hamer Hogrimson won't be calling up any replacement for him ahead of Saturday's friendly match against Grenada in Spain. Casey McAteer and Joel Bagan withdrew last week, and their replacement, 18-year-old Newcastle midfielder Rory Finneran, in line to be handed his debut.
Now then, from the Arsenal women's squad, there's been a big departure announced today.
Yeah, Beth Mead will be leaving the club this summer as expected. Mead said it breaks her heart to leave the club. The England international departs at the end of the term, having won one WSL title, 3 League Cups and a Women's Champions League with the club. She's been linked with the move to London City Lionesses and Manchester City.
Now then, speaking of rugby, and we are going to have Fiona Hayes with us and Mike Sherry later on Monday Night Rugby. We've got the beginning of Scotland Week when it comes to the Women's Six Nations.
Yeah, it's a massive week as well, Owen, of course, because they're looking for a big support at the Aviva Stadium. The women's team will play their first standalone match at the Lansdowne Road venue this Sunday afternoon. The opponents are Scotland, as you say, and it's the last round of the Six Nations Championship. On the last check, there was 28,000 tickets sold, which will smash the record attendance for a senior women's international on this island. Ireland currently sitting third in the table after their win against Wales in Belfast last weekend. Winning against Scotland is crucial for the team, as Italy are just 3 points behind them in the standings and close out with a winnable match in Wales. Back row Aaron King feels that the team has come a long way in a very short period of time.
It's our first standalone game in the Aviva Stadium, which is really exciting. We've seen the lads play there for years, and finally it's our turn to play there. So yeah, we sold like 27,000 tickets as well, which is record breaking for us, you know, the biggest crowd that we've ever gotten in Ireland. Yeah, it's great to see and feel that support. We've come a long way from, you know, even just 5 years ago, we were playing in, you know, tiny stadiums and we'd get a couple thousand people.
Yeah, she was chatting to Claire Byrne earlier on News Talk.
Yeah, the first standalone fixture at the Aviva Stadium. It's their second fixture at the Aviva Stadium. They played there back in 2014 as well. And there was a double header with the men's game. But it was after the men's game as opposed to before the men's game. And the whole stadium basically cleared out after Brian O'Driscoll's last home game when he was given that tribute. People just didn't hang around for the women's game. So
I was actually at that on covering it as media, and it was also really awkward for the media because everyone had to get down for the post-match stuff with the players and the head coaches from the teams from the men's game. So you'd practically miss the whole first half of the women's game. So, you know, logistically, it just wasn't ideal. So hopefully a big crowd and a lot more attention for the game this Sunday.
We have departure news then when it comes to Munster.
Yeah, South African winger Takir Abrahams will leave Munster at the end of the term. The 27-year-old will return home after reaching an agreement to sign for the URC rivals, the Bulls. He's got a two-year deal with them. He joined Munster two seasons ago following one campaign in the top 14 with Lyon.
Now then, Leinster players are returning ahead of the Province's last match in the URC, so the injury list is getting shorter, I guess, for Leinster.
Yep, Jordan Larmour and Tommy O'Brien have recovered from injury ahead of their final regular match of the season in the URC on Saturday. A decision will be made ahead of the home clash with Ospreys on the fitness of James Lowe, Tadhg Furlong and several other players on the comeback trail. Bad news, though, for poor old Will Connors. He sustained an injury during the Lions game and will be unavailable for the rest of the season.
So you have the latest on Offaly hurler Charlie Mitchell.
Well, the county board confirmed that the county's hurling captain is recovering and is in good form. He felt unwell after the drawn Leinster Championship match with Kilkenny yesterday. After being treated at the Midlands Regional Hospital in Tullamore, he was moved to St James's Hospital in Dublin. Mitchell has been in superb form on the field in this year's Championship matches against Dublin, Galway and the Cats. So best wishes to him.
We have the Tailteann Cup draw as well.
Yeah, Wicklow will face Limerick in a repeat of that semi-final last year in a knockout clash in Round 2B. The other Round 2B matches see Clare host Longford, Sligo travel to Waterford and the loser of this weekend's Down Leitrim match playing Carlow. The Round 2A fixtures involve Antrim against Tipperary, Fermanagh facing Wexford, Offaly take on the Down Leitrim winner and London play Laois. So the Round 2B losers will be knocked out while the Round 2B winners will face the Round 2A losers in Round 3, and then three of the Round 2A winners will go straight to the quarterfinals, with another Round 2A winner to be drawn, set to play New York in the preliminary quarterfinal.
Mats Hermansson, who was in goals for West Ham yesterday, was not giving David Raya any help either. He said, "I cannot understand. I agree. You can see grabs and you can give it as a foul, but you have to be consistent during the season." I guess Mads would say that, to be fair to him. I mean, given he's on the opponent, on the opposition team. But there was kind of a brief moment where I thought it was going to land on his head. That cross.
I think that's
a brief second.
It's probably a fair take, all the same, with the consistency. I don't know if it's possible, but it's even yesterday, like, it's not even the foul in isolation. Like, there's so much going on that there's going to be a degree of randomness to what gets punished and what doesn't. Maybe a trust in the universe.
Yeah, I said in an earlier show this year, Howard Webb came out at the start of this season and said that they were going to crack down on grappling in the box. Yeah. So they set their stall out. And the thing is, it shouldn't have developed into Callum Wilson scoring a goal. He should have blown his whistle when the corner was taken, saying, look, there's too much grappling going on here. The corner has to be retaken and stop grappling. But he didn't. He allowed the corner to be taken and then develops into a goal. And then we have this controversial mess coming out of it, which is, it's the referee's own fault. You know, and because they're now using VAR as a crutch, they think, well, if there's something going on there, I can always go to VAR afterwards. They're afraid now to make these calls. And like, if Howard Webb is saying at the start of the season, we're going to crack down on this stuff, they did for a couple of games and then it just got forgotten about. So in fairness, the referees have made their own bed here, and that's...
We have a final story here on the European T20 Premier League, and there's going to be a franchise in Ireland.
Yep, India cricket legend Rahul Dravid has been announced as the co-owner of the Dublin franchise. Dravid is part of an Indian consortium which has acquired the team, who will be called the Dublin Guardians. The 53-year-old, who played 164 tests and 344 one-day internationals for India and coached the national team from 21 to 24, is seen as a major coup for the league's organisers. The ETPL is being run in collaboration with the cricket boards of Ireland, Scotland and the Netherlands, with six teams based out of Amsterdam, Rotterdam, Belfast, Dublin, Glasgow and Edinburgh. Dravid believes there is a European audience they can tap into.
Cricket may not be the number one sport, or maybe not even the number two sport in this part of the world. It still has a lot of rich history and tradition and culture of the game. It's been followed, it's been played for a very long time in the continent. It felt like a really good opportunity to come together with a group of really like-minded, quality people, both in terms of the other franchise owners and who are involved in the league, but is at the league level as well, you know, people who I think have the right idea and the right vision to be able to grow the game. Cricket Ireland, Cricket Scotland and Netherlands are, you know, very established cricket bodies in the ICC.
And will you be going to watch the Dublin Guardians?
Guardians? Where will they play? Have they decided yet?
Malahide.
Okay. Mm. What's the format for that? How long? They're like, it's obviously,
it's T20, yeah, so yeah,
one day things. Okay,
yeah, even shorter.
Yeah,
it's basically 20 overs each, so it's rapid fire cricket, which doesn't go well with the, you know, your purest, quicker fans, the purest. Yeah,
I wouldn't write it off immediately. I don't know if it'll work. I don't know if it'll have any. I'm not sure what the how you cut through. I say it'd be tough. They must have some plan. I mean, the IPL is huge, obviously, but that's natural enough. I mean, would you be any sort of interest peaked?
Yeah, yeah, about? Yeah.
I'm not interested. I would compare like the idea of like an NFL thing, or like keep that. Don't need anything to do with that. This would be a bit more interesting.
I'd prefer to see Ireland playing more test matches, to be honest with you. They got their test status a number of years, and it's interesting to hear what he said there about them, Ireland having established cricket boards. But like, you know, they got their test status a number of years ago now, and they're basically being thrown crumbs from the table of the ICC, which is, as we know, based in India. They are the power brokers, and all of the other big test nations like England, Pakistan, they just have no interest in making the other test nations stronger. And until that happens, you know, it's a bit, I don't know.
Brian's been in touch on WhatsApp explaining the Roscommon jubilation yesterday, saying it's the first time to win the Nestor Cup in the Hyde since 2001 and the first one to beat Galway since 1990. So we'll go deep on that with Ciarán after the break as we bask in the glory of Roscommon winning Sam Óg, as it was referred to on the news last night. Stephen Doyle, thank you very much for tonight's news round.
The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.